I'd like to read a couple of very well-known passages. The first one in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 16, which is on page, if you've got the same translation as me, 1169. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 26. For what does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then in the book of the Psalms, right in the middle of the Bible, same translation of me, it will be on page 720, Psalm 49. Psalm 49 and verse 8. For the redemption of their soul is costly and must be given up forever. One of the most common topics that seem to be talking about in my house at the moment and in my wider family is, what are your plans for Christmas? And it is not the most exciting topic, but as human beings, we like to plan for things, don't we? We plan for Christmas, we plan for birthdays, we plan for holidays, we plan for all sorts of things. Tonight, dear friend, I want to ask you a very simple question. Is what is your plan for eternity? What is your plan for when your soul leaves this earth, when the clock runs out and your time on earth is done? What is your plan? Because, you know, we go in for many things. We like to think, don't we? Jesus talks here about what should a man profit if he should gain the whole world. We go in for many things. We like to gain many things in this life, whether it's money, whether it's a career, whether it's interests, whether it's hobbies, whether it's love, whatever it is, we like to gain things and get things for ourselves down here. And yet, dear friend, what thought have you about your soul? Your never-dying soul that will go on past time here and through to eternity. What of your soul tonight, friend? Where will you go when time here, your time here is finished? What will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Friend, there is nothing more important than your soul. Jesus puts it like on a balance, if you like. Your soul on one side, and the whole value of the world and everything in it. And your soul comes out as more valuable and more important. Jesus says, basically, what use is it if you should gain the whole world and yet suffer the loss of your soul? Why? Because at the end of everything, at the end of your time down here, these things that we see and the things that we go in for, they will disappear. They will go. But your soul will carry on for all eternity. There's a little poem, and it says, to lose your wealth is much, to lose your health is more, but to lose your soul is such a loss as no man can restore. There is nothing, dear friend, more valuable. And when Jesus puts it, your soul, and compares it to the world, it comes out that your soul is far more important. This world will not go on forever. And the things that we try and gain in this world will not go on forever. They are temporary things. And yet tonight, dear friend, in the gospel, we are talking about things and matters of eternity. Matters of eternity. You know, you can't take anything with you. It's a phrase that even people in the world will know. You can't take it with you. And it's true. Whatever you've gained and collected for yourself down here, when your time comes, you cannot take it with you. And yet your soul will continue and carry on. And dear friend, let me tell you, it's a very simple equation, if you like. At the end of your time down here, there are two places that your soul will spend eternity. One of them is heaven, where I can honestly tell you that the opportunity tonight is for your soul to go to heaven when you die down here because of what Jesus has done. That is the opportunity that is open to everybody in this room tonight, to know the security that you can have of spending an eternity with Christ and knowing what it is to be in the Father's house forever. And the other destiny, should you choose to reject the gospel, should you choose to reject the person that God is presenting to you as a saviour of sinners. The other destiny, dear friend, is a place called hell. And dear friend, tonight I want to ask you the question, where is it that you are going? Quite simply, where are you going? Are you building up for yourself down here a life full of things and possessions and everything else to get as much as you can for your time down here with no thought for eternity? There's a little story, anecdote, whatever you want to call it. If you want to imagine yourself on one of those old-fashioned royal trains, and on the train is the King of England, and you're on the train as well, and you're sitting in the same compartment as him, and you're looking out of the window, and you notice the landscape is going past perhaps a little quicker than it usually does, and the trees and all the hills are whooshing past at a quite unnerving rate, and the train seems to speed up, and you're going past stations that perhaps you should have stopped at. And faster goes this royal train. And eventually you feel compelled to stand up and make your way through the carriages all the way to the driver's compartment. And you speak to the driver and you say, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" And the driver turns to you and he says, "I don't know." Well, you'd think he was mad, wouldn't you? Driving a royal train with an important passenger on it, going faster and faster, and he didn't know where he was going. Well, let me tell you, dear friend, on the great railroad, the great journey of life, you are carrying a passenger of far more importance than the King of England. You are carrying your never-dying soul. And faster you go, past station after station, past gospel preacher that has stood at this desk, past Bible verse that you've perhaps opened and read, and moved on without a second thought. Faster and faster. And where are you going? I don't know. Do you know where you're going, friend? Because it's a question of vital importance that you know where you're going. And more importantly, friend, tonight you can make that, have that assurance in your heart that not only do you know where you're going, but you know that the Lord Jesus is there with you and he will take you there to be with himself. Oh, friend, the opportunity in the gospel tonight, the message of the gospel is that you can have the certainty of knowing what it is, to know where your hope lies, but two, the present joy of having sins forgiven, of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. What joy, what hope, what blessing can be found in the good news that is being presented in the gospel? And it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, answer that question now. Do you know where you're going? Because it's so important. You know, it's hard to imagine eternity, isn't it? It goes on forever and ever. There is no end to it. And you are going, a sinner, to meet a holy and a righteous God, to answer for your sin, to answer for your indifference. There is a great gulf fixed at that point. You're going, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you're going into an eternity and will be forever lost. Let me turn you, I don't want to labour this point too much, but if you turn to the last book in the Bible, and almost the last chapter, chapter 20, what a solemn picture this is. Verse 12 of chapter 20. "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is that of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged each according to their works." And then verse 15. "And if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." This is the importance, dear friend, of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. The gospel is good news. It's joyous news, but behind it lies this solemn urgency that without Christ, you will find yourself in this position one day, facing the judge of all the earth, knowing that you rejected him as your Saviour, knowing that you stand before him in all your sin, knowing that your opportunities, like the one you have tonight, were squandered, and that you have nothing to say before a judge who stands before you, and you have to answer for every sin that you have committed. They were judged according to their works, and if they were not found, and nobody here will be found in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. The summer is gone, the harvest is past. We are not saved. Oh friend, don't let that be you. Don't let that be your experience. Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ now as your Saviour. The door stands open. He stands ready and willing and waiting to receive all those that will come to him tonight. The opportunity has not yet passed you by, but now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, what a solemn picture this is, you know, standing there in all your sin. You know, it's sin, you know, that's caused this distance between us and God. It's sin that is the reason tonight, dear friend, that we have to preach the gospel, because sin brought in this great distance between us and God. Sin brought in this great chasm, this great gulf. And you know, there's nothing, dear friend, that we can do from our side. We have on one side a holy and a righteous God who cannot even look on sin. And we have us on the other side, totally sold under sin, and with nothing to do and no way to pay for even a single one of the things that we have done in our lives. All the things we've thought and said and done must be accounted for. And we have no resource to pay for even one single thing that we've done wrong. We come to the Psalms. Psalm 49. The redemption of their soul is costly and must be given up forever. That's sort of what I was just saying. It's costly. Must be given up forever. No payment on our side is ever going to be enough. There's no point even trying. Must be given up forever. The cost is far too great. You know, the Lord tells a parable about two debtors. And what does he say? He said they had nothing to pay. And dear friend, that's your position tonight if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. There's nothing that you can do, nothing that you can pay that can in any way erase even one of the things that you know that you've done wrong. What a terrible position to be in. That distance is there and you're facing an eternity in hell with no way to pay for any of those things. And yet, even though it was costly, the redemption of their soul is costly, I want to tell you, dear friend, that cost has been met by the Lord Jesus Christ. We sung in our hymn, Christ has regarded my helpless estate. God looked at us in our hopeless and helpless position, with no ability of our own to move closer to him, no ability of our own to secure blessing, no ability of our own to be able to open up the gates of heaven, as it were. And he says, I will redeem you with outstretched arm. God moves in grace. God has moved from his own side to set you free tonight, dear friend. Even though we're far away, even though we're in this helpless and hopeless position, the cost has been met. And what was the cost? Well, the cost was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sung about it this afternoon just before the Bible study. The cost was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's what it's all based on. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed so that you can know what it is to have your sins forgiven. Christ alone is able to pay the penalty. There's nobody else that's qualified. There's nobody else, because Christ was unique in every way and he was able to pay the penalty that stood out against me. And dear friend, tonight you can know what it is to have that security, that joy of having your sins washed away, of having the security of knowing that they can never be brought up again because of the perfect work of redemption that was achieved, accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Christ alone is able to bear that penalty. You know, oh yes, you know, there is a penalty attached to sin. You know, sometimes we like to think we can get away with sinning. We like to think that there are many sins perhaps that nobody will ever, ever find out about. And that is very true. I'm sure there's things that we've all done that nobody here and nobody down here on this earth will ever find out about. We've tucked them away so tightly and so secretly. And yet, dear friend, God knows about every single one of them. He knows about every single secret sin. Every single one. And you know, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It is appointed unto men once to die. You know, that is an appointment that none of us, except those that love the Lord Jesus Christ and look for his return. But it is an appointment that you will not fail to keep. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And yet, you know, dear friends, the judgment for my sins has been borne by the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder whether you can say that tonight. Can you point to the cross? Can you point to that the man that hung on that cross and say, that was done for me? Can you point to the man hanging there in agony and shame and all of those, you think of all those terrible things that were thrown at the Lord Jesus, the insults, the scourging, the terrible way that he was treated. And you think of those 3 hours of darkness where he paid in full the dreadful judgment of sin. He exhausted the judgment of God. And I can point to what happened on that cross and I can say that was done for me. Well, dear friend, can you? Because that's the question in the gospel. It's easy to talk and to say that we know about the Lord Jesus. Most people know about the Lord Jesus. Most people know and will be able to quote parables he told and perhaps even the general pathway that he took down here. But do you know him personally as your Saviour? And does he know you? The redemption of the soul is costly. There's only one man, you know, that was able to redeem my soul. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. You read a little bit further back in the Old Testament, there's a little book called Ruth. And it's a book about love, and it's a book about attachment, but it's a book too about redemption. Because there's a man in the book of Ruth called Boaz. And you know, there's two very important things that were said about Boaz. The first thing was that he was a mighty man of wealth. And you know, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he and he alone had the resource available. Only his precious blood was enough to secure my salvation. He stands there uniquely qualified to be my Saviour. And he stands uniquely qualified to be the Saviour of the world. He was the precious, beloved Son of God. And he hung there on that cross and shed that precious blood so that you and I can go free. A mighty man of wealth. He had the resource. But two, it says that he had the right of redemption. He was in the right. Elimelech, I think it was, Boaz, the family. He had the right of redemption. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ, uniquely qualified in every way, the perfect Son of God, did everything down here in accordance with God's law. He did everything down here in absolute perfection. He stands unique in all of Scripture. There's some tremendous characters in this book. There's some fantastic stories, some brilliant heroes that stand out in the pages of Scripture. But nobody stands next to my Saviour. Nobody stands next to him because he is there, unique and peerless in every way. The Son of God, you know, the one that the heavens were able to open upon him. This is my beloved Son, God could say, in whom I found my delight. Absolute perfection in every step. Absolute perfection in every movement and action that he took. And he stands uniquely qualified tonight to be your Saviour, as he has been mine. And I know he's been many in this room as well. And dear friend, tonight, I want to again ask you and appeal to you. Is he your Saviour? Do you know him as your Saviour? You can never pay the price for your sins, but you don't need to, because he has done it. You can know what it is to be forgiven. You can know what it is to have joy and peace in believing, because he met the cost on that cross. Redemption's price has been paid. Paid in full. And it was done, and it was accomplished, and it was done once forever. And it was that precious blood, you know. That's the That's the key of the whole thing, that precious blood that was shed on that cross. Turn with me to Peter. Chapter 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18. Knowing that ye have been redeemed, not by corruptible things, as silver or gold. I'll skip down a little bit. Verse 19. But by precious blood, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. That's the cost, you know. That was what was needed to secure my soul. That was the cost that was required in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and it was expended there on that cross. The blood was shed so that you and I can go free. It's not by corruptible things, not by our own works, not by the things that we can do or our own efforts. The Bible says all our righteousnesses, what does it say? They're filthy rags. Filthy rags. My family often think that I look really scruffy when I go to posh places, but we wouldn't want to turn up at a posh event in filthy rags, would we? And yet we think we can come before God in filthy rags. Our righteousnesses. They're not our bad things. They're not the things that we are ashamed of. This is the very best that we can provide and offer. And still they are not enough for God. God cannot accept anything on our part. And he doesn't need to. Because we can stand in the full acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done. It's him and him alone. You know, there was that rich young ruler, wasn't there, in the Gospels. He says he kept everything from his youth. He kept all the law. He'd done everything. And he says, what lack I yet? He knew there was something missing. And dear friend, tonight, maybe you realize that there's something missing in your life. You might say that he gained the whole world, if you like. He had everything. He still knew he was missing something. Christ alone is able to redeem and satisfy your soul. There's nobody else. There's nobody else on offer, if you like, in the gospel. God is presenting his Son as the only Savior of sinners. You know, to pay that price that I cannot pay. And I can look tonight to a one on whom death had no claim, who went into death for me, on whom death did have a claim. Death has a claim on all of us. And yet we can look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one on whom death had no claim. And he made himself responsible for my liabilities. And he died on that cross. It says he bore our sins in his body on the tree. He bore my sins. Dear friend, did he for you? Did he bear your sins on that cross? Well, tonight, dear friend, you can know what it is to have those sins completely forgiven. You can know what it is to have that security. I can tell you tonight that I am clear of all my sins, not because of anything I've done, but because I can stand in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I am clear in his clearance. I am bound to him, if you like, now, and that I rise and fall on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is for God can be found in Christ and Christ alone. And I can point to that cross, and I can point to what happened on that cross, and I can know that what happened there infinitely glorified and satisfied a holy and a righteous God. And dear friend, tonight, what security there is in that, knowing that this doesn't rest on you, but it rests on the perfection of the work that was done at Calvary. Oh friend, tonight may you know what it is to have that peace and have that security, to know what it is to have that distance completely removed, so that you can be in that full and free relationship with God. To know what it is to have your burden of guilt completely gone, to have your sins washed away in that precious blood of his, and to know what it is to be able to call the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Savior, and to have that hope of seeing him face to face, but knowing that in the meantime, he is here and with you and walking with you every step of the way. What is on offer in the gospel is so amazing. And it's all because of what Christ did on that cross. What a privilege it is to be able to speak to you tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, dear friend, that the question now comes, what's your response to the whole thing? What's your response to this question? God has provided everything for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, he hung on that cross and he said, it is finished, paid in full, nothing left to do except turn in repentance and faith. You know, Judas talking to me the other day, I can't remember how it was, what we were talking about, but he said, oh, I really like the idea of being a Christian, I just don't know how to do it. And you know, what a question. Well, how do you become a Christian? Well, first of all, you have to recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. That's the first step, that you are a sinner as away from a holy and a righteous God. And second of all, you need to come in repentance, realize that you are a sinner, and turn in repentance, to say sorry for what you've done, to own your sinnership, to come before God and to say, I am wrong. What I've done, who I am, is wrong. And then look to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done on that cross, and realize in your heart that that was done for you. Have faith in that work, that what was done on that cross at Calvary satisfied a holy and a righteous God. Dear friend, it's a most wonderful thing, you know, when you become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most joyous moment that we will ever experience down here on this earth, coming to know Christ as our own personal Savior, knowing what it is to have everything removed, that we can stand before God as perfect, not on our own merit, but because of what Christ has done. And forever, when we stand before God in heaven, it will still be there because of what Christ has done. It all hangs on him. It's all because of him. And the Lord Jesus Christ tonight stands ready and willing and waiting for anybody in this room to come to know him as their own personal Savior. You can have peace with God. You can know what it is to have that anxiety and that stress and that turmoil within us because of our sin completely removed, to know what it is to have peace. Oh, that's what this world is looking for, isn't it, tonight, friend? You look out into the streets of this town, you look in the newspapers, there is no peace to be found. Peace has been made by the blood of his cross. Peace is found alone in Jesus. Peace and joy and gladness and all these things bound up in the person that we're speaking about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, dear friend, may you know what it is to have the certainty of knowing where your soul is going when you leave this earth. But two, having the certainty of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior here and now. It's not just something that we have a far-off hope about. Christianity is a real here and now faith. Knowing the person now, the eternal life, knowing Jesus Christ and God himself, knowing the Father, it's all there, ready and willing and waiting for you to come in acceptance. Coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior opens the floodgates of blessing. Sins forgiven, the Holy Spirit given, a place in sonship before our God and Father, a hope that goes beyond this world entirely. And you're brought into this company of other people that too love the Lord Jesus Christ, the church. What a privilege it is to be able to walk not only with the Lord Jesus Christ, but too with those that also love him and are looking for his appearing. What a joy, what a privilege it is to call oneself a Christian. And dear friend, tonight may you too be among those that are able to say, I know he died for me. Well, dear friend, we talked at the beginning about our soul and weighed it up against the world. You have a never-dying soul. You have a soul that is going to spend an eternity in either heaven or in hell. You have a response, and you have a responsibility now to answer the question, where will you spend eternity? With Christ in glory, beyond our wildest thoughts, beyond even our vocabulary, joy uncompared. Dear friend, make sure that that is the place that you know that you will go to when you leave this earth. And make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior before you leave this room tonight. As we said, now is the well-accepted time. There may not be another opportunity. There may not be another moment. Now is your opportunity to come to know Christ as your own personal Savior. May you do so for his name's sake. Amen.